You know, you can tell you're getting old when everything you hear reminds you of something. I can remember reading a group was planning for a revival meeting, and they were planning the songs. And one of the songs that they decided to sing was, "I Need Thee Every Hour." And there was a lady in the group. She said, "Well, I don't think I need him every hour. I need him moment by moment." And then that night, this lady, I think it was, she and her husband, they went home and penned the song moment by moment. And that's so true, isn't it? We need him moment by moment. We have got so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. You know, I'd like to just share one little thing that has encouraged my heart this week. And I think it's amazing that when you're out doing things in the Lord's work, how that he dumps blessings on you that you never dreamed possible. The other day, we stopped at a home over here close to the Robbins home, and I met a lady there that grew up in Ruffin. She told me all her details, and we spent an hour or two there talking to her and her mother. And it was such a treat. She connected me with a church that I've been trying to get in touch with, and I couldn't find any information on this church. So they give me his name and address. He invites me to come. And so I go to this house, and I think I'm at the right house. Two mailboxes on one post. And when I get there, I go to this house. It's got a sign in the yard about Land, and that was his name, Frank Land. So anyway, I knock on the door. This lady comes to the door, and she looks at me and looks like she's got a little surprise on her face. And she said, "Are you the son of Fleetwood Denny?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure am. How do you know my mother?" And she said, "We used to live across the road from y'all. We used to run my parents ran a diner on Highway 29. And she went through and told me all this stuff. And she said, "Jerry, you won't believe this, but your mother was the godliest woman I ever met." She said, "My mom and her would get together every day in those latter years. They would get on the phone and they would pray for each other. They would talk to each other. And the Lord really blessed it." See, and now I find out many years later what God did in their lives. Isn't that how it works? Many times we serve the Lord in areas and we don't see the blessing until down the road many years later. And I could tell you many more stories that where the Lord has worked out these details in our lives. This morning, I want us to look at probably one of my favorite psalms. This Psalm 103 is a psalm written by David, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving and praise to God for his forgiveness and what he did to him after he had committed a terrible sin. And I want us to think about this particular psalm, and I'm only going to read just the first five verses, and we hopefully will make it through this whole psalm in the time frame that we have allotted to us. Let's begin here, and you'll notice I've got some words that's highlighted, and it begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And you'll see the last thing that's said in this psalm, down in verse 22, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's a good set of bookends, isn't it? Good set of bookends for all the information that we have in the middle between these bookends. But let's continue reading. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And we'll look at all of these verses and read them before we get through, but these verses are such a blessing to me. I have had several instances in my life where I've seen these Psalms and how they blessed me. One of the things that I remember was when we were in India several years ago, the orphanage that we were working at in on the east coast of India, while we were working there, I noticed every time I'd finish speaking or get through with a class or something, the audience would start repeating something. And eventually, after two or three times, I asked my translator, "What are they saying?" He said, "The orphanage here and the people that are attending these meetings feel like that they need to bless the Lord with all their soul because of what He has done for them." And so what they would do is, when you would finish the message, they would all stand up and they would quote the first five verses. That gave me a whole new insight into it. And I've got another life-changing story that I'll tell you when we get down into verse 4. But let's wait for that one. But think about it. Verse 2, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now think about benefits. Benefits. You know, I never dreamed that when I was a young fellow in the military that when I got out that the VA clinic would take care of me and my physical needs. And I was able to pick up a new set of hearing aids Friday. And what a benefit that is. Now you can't talk about me without me hearing you. So be careful what you say. I can hear every little crick and crack in the room that's going on right now. But think about the benefits that we have in and through our Savior, the Lord Jesus. You know, I can remember back in the old days, I was a hiring manager with Xerox. And I remember in about 6 months, I had to hire 39 people. And that was the busiest time in my life, was that 6 months hiring those 39 people and interviewing. And the goal, we had to interview everybody. But you know what the number one question was? The number one question was not what will I be doing every day. The number one question was, what does your benefits package look like? What are you going to do for me? Not what am I going to do for you? And you know what? That's the way we look at life many times, isn't it? I think sometimes we come to the Lord based on what we want Him to do for us, rather than realize He is going to do for us exactly what we need. And a lot of things that we think we need, we discover later on in life, if I had got that, that would have been one of the worst things I could have possibly gotten. But let's look at some of the benefits that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has done for us. Here we see a great thing said in verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquities." Now it's interesting, as we go down through this passage, you'll see there's the word iniquities, sin, and transgressions. And you'll see that the Lord deals with all of those. But think about it. What is a transgression? Suppose you had a sign up here, "Do not jump from the stage to the floor without taking the step." Suppose I did that. What would I be doing? I would be transgressing one of the rules, wouldn't I? I'd be violating something that I was told not to do. And that's a transgression, isn't it? When we violate the things that God has told us not to do, that's a transgression. But where does that come from? I think it comes from our hearts. That's what an iniquity is. And many times you'll see it translated two or three different ways or used in different formats, but primarily an iniquity is something that's evil within my heart. How does the scriptures describe our hearts? Our hearts is deceitful and desperately wicked. We have no idea what's in our hearts until we get put into the right place at the right time, and that's when it will always happen. When we think we're in control, he that thinks he's standing, what does he need to do? He needs to take heed because he's going to fall, right? And we'll see that our sin, our iniquities, and our transgressions are taken care of by God. A sin, you know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let's say we had a perfect standard, and we do, don't we? It's the law. And the law is not to hinder you from doing the things that you enjoy in life, but it's to protect you. The law is a measure of a relationship. And I could go through the Ten Commandments and show you how that if anyone does any one of those commandments to you, you would be offended and you would go away mad. But God has set a perfect standard, and how many of us measure up to the perfect standard of God? Anybody that measures up, raise your hand. Well, right now I don't see any hands raised. That's the meaning of sin. We fall short of the glory of God. There's only one person that ever lived a perfect life, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he was acceptable to be the sacrifice for our sins. He took our place because he was absolutely perfect. But listen to what it says here, who forgives all your sins. Forgives. That's amazing, isn't it? God is willing to forgive us for everything that we have ever done that's wrong. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls. And we see that the reason we get that rest is because we have the forgiveness of the things that we have done wrong. You know, it's interesting, if you look on down in the passage, you'll see there in verse 10, listen to how God has dealt with our iniquities, our sins, and so forth. Look at verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. In other words, he didn't deal with us the way we deserve to be dealt with. That's amazing, isn't it? What the standard that we have in our lives is we want to do unto you what you did unto me. But listen to what, he didn't deal with us according to what we've done wrong. But look at what he says here. Nor punished us according to our iniquities, our wicked hearts. He's not given us what we deserve. Look at what else he says here. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How did he deal with you and me? He didn't give us what we deserved, did we? You know, it's interesting. Where would all of us be if we got what we deserved? You know, if God were to let me into heaven with one sin, what would I do when I stepped into heaven? I'd be the one to ruin heaven, because heaven is a perfect place. There'll be no sin allowed in heaven, and God is going to allow everyone who comes into heaven, they need to have a righteousness. And God has given us that righteousness. At the same time, he forgave us of our sins. But let's just go on here, and we'll look at the mercies in just a moment. Who forgives Does it say some of your iniquities? What does it say? All, not just some, all your iniquities are forgiven. And look at the next little statement there in verse 3, what he does with us. It says, he heals all your diseases. Now, some people will take this particular verse, and there's two or three other times in Scripture where it talks about healing diseases and so forth, and they look at it from a physical point of view. Okay? But here, I think he's talking about the spiritual illnesses that we have, the spiritual sicknesses that we have. You know, there's a great verse in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that says, with his stripes we are healed. But if we go back and look at that passage in Isaiah 53, what he's healing us from is the sin and the iniquities and all the transgressions that we've done. That's what he's healing us. It's a spiritual healing, not necessarily a physical healing. But you know what I've discovered in life? That many times you can look around and you can see that sometimes God gives us physical problems as a result of not listening to him and not obeying and having our spiritual life right with him. Have you ever seen that in life? You know, they tell us that many times, many of the sicknesses that we get is a result of our thought life and the things that's going on in our little brain. But he heals all of our diseases. You know, it's interesting, if you take this word here, it's interesting when you look through the Scripture, to heal, it means sometimes a physical treatment, but in other places, it's made whole, completely made whole. Now, is that what happened to you and I when we were forgiven of our sins? We were made completely whole, weren't we? And it's here, I think it's a figurative type thing, and I've got this from some of the different commentaries that I've read in some of the Greek books that I have. But here it says, a bruise, a wound from a stripe. Who heals? In Isaiah, it says, with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes. What is a stripe? It's a problem, isn't it? Do you know what happened when they beat the Lord Jesus? You know, it was interesting. In the Old Testament, there was a law. You could only inflict 39 lashes on somebody. Because if you put 40 or more, it was too much. It might kill them. Right? But the Lord, he was inflicted. In other words, he was wounded. He took, as it were, the divine stroke from God. In other words, God took the punishment that you and I deserve, and he laid it on him. Now, there was a lot of strokes that he got from man physically, wasn't it? But that's not what saved us. What saved us was God's divine stroke on him. And with that stroke of judgment God put on him, we are healed. Have you ever thought about, when's the last time you went to a doctor? Well, I got these new hearing aids Friday. I was there. But you know, how many times have you been to a doctor and the doctor diagnosed your problem and he said, you've got a disease here and you're going to die from it. Now, here's what I'm going to do for you. I've already diagnosed your problem, and I'm correcting my diagnosis. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take myself and let you have the organs you need to keep you from dying. I'm going to do that for you. How many of you would go to a doctor like that? I'm going to tell you what, people would be lined up all day long, wouldn't they? A doctor that would take your disease upon himself and allow himself to be inflicted with what disease you've got. Well, that's exactly what God did, isn't it? He allowed his son to die for us, and through his stripes, we are made right. We are made whole with God. But look at the next thing here. Who redeems your life from destruction. Your life. You know, there's two aspects of life. There's a spiritual life, and there's a physical life, isn't it? Is it possible to have a saved soul and a lost life? I think it is. I've had family members that didn't get saved until their mid-70s. And by the time that they got saved, they were unable to do anything for anybody else. They had a saved soul, but what kind of a life did they have? They had a lost life, didn't they? Now, what does this psalm say right here? He redeems your life from destruction. What does God want everybody here? And I look at some of the young people in our audience this morning, teenagers. You know what? The Lord might bless you with another 60, 70 years. Just think of all that you can do for God in the next 60 years if he allows you to live that long and he doesn't come. The Lord doesn't come. That's amazing, isn't it? And if you live that life to glorify God, what are you going to have? You're going to have a saved life, aren't you? It's possible to have a saved soul and a lost life. But what we want is a saved soul and a saved life. To me, it's amazing. And I am so thankful that I was able to come to the Lord Jesus and to get saved when I was 23 years old. When I left home at 18, I was running as fast as I could run. And I didn't want to come back. But you know what? God worked in my heart. And he showed me things in my life that I needed to have forgiven. And one of them was the hatred that I had in my heart. But he saves your life from destruction. That's why he wants us to get saved, right? To get saved and then start living for him and glorifying him. And that way you'll have a saved life. What is it that we all want to hear when we show up in heaven? Well done, you good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to say, well, come in. We want to hear more than that, don't we? What kind of an entrance will we have into heaven that we're told about in some of the epistles? Well, that entrance into heaven will be determined by the life that we live down here. And just imagine what would it be like. Well, I would have no problem saying if my little grandson or granddaughter were to come through that door right now, let me introduce to you the great Mark Denny. It would be no problem, right? You get the picture. That's what we want in heaven. We want not only a saved soul, but we want a life that counts. And what I see around as I look around in the world today, what young people are looking for, what is the meaning and purpose of life? Why am I here? Am I here just to do anything I want to do and to mess around and get all these pleasures of life that's going to destroy you in the end? No, we're here to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we do that, we start it when we get saved. And then as we grow and as we mature and serve him, we get a saved life, aren't we? And one day we'll hear, well done, you good and beloved servant. We want to save life. I was in Mebane several years ago, and while I was there, I shared this verse from the Lord's Supper, this passage right here. And when I finished, a brother came up to me and he said, "I've got a neighbor. His name is Alan Sykes. Alan was in Vietnam in the war. And while Alan was there in the middle of a battle, one day he heard something and he felt something that hit him in the chest. But he didn't know what it was, so he just kept on in the battle. When the battle was over, he said he reached into his shirt pocket and someone had given him a Gideon Bible, of all things. And he had that Gideon Bible in his shirt pocket. And he pulled out the Bible and noticed there a bullet had ricocheted some way and hit him in the chest. And that bullet had went into that little Bible. And when he opened it up, the bullet was pointing to verse 4 of Psalm 103. Who saves your life from destruction. And this young man was never the same. And he's not the same today. I hear that every morning when he gets up, part of his dress uniform, when he puts on his shirt, guess what goes in his shirt pocket? A Gideon Bible. That's incredible, isn't it? And today, ever since then, this guy is serving the Lord. Now, we don't want to go have, let's pray that none of us has to be shot, as it were, or to go through some terrible circumstance in order to realize that we're not in control. We're not in control of anything, are we? How about this storm that just came through? All the news reporters are able to do is to tell you, look and see what happened. Nobody could say, head north, head south, stop. Nobody can do that, can they? We're not in control. God is the one that wants to give us a saved soul and a saved life. You know, I just look at many of my friends here in the audience, and I've heard many of your testimonies. And just think about, where would you be at today if you had not gotten saved 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? Where would you be at today? It's scary to think about that, isn't it? Where you would be today if you had not gotten saved and living for the Lord. You know, one of the things that I enjoy hearing is to hear you young guys stand up and worship in the worship meeting and share Scripture, what God has shown you during the week. That's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. Well, let's go on here. Look at the next one. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, I know I don't look like I've got a crown on my head. It looks like I'm bald head, doesn't it? But I've got a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies that's over me. That's incredible, isn't it? I love the different scriptures that talks about His mercy to us. Listen to what it says in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Starts with mercy and ends with mercy, doesn't it? He doesn't give us what we deserve. We just saw that. He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals our disease. He redeems our life from destruction. And He crowns us with loving kindness and mercies. Isn't that what we're all looking for? What is it that I could take any of those little grandkids, those little kids to come in here, what is it they want to hear? They want to say, "You're special. I love you. I care about you. Come here and give me a hug." Isn't that what those kids want to hear? They want to be loved, right? Who's loved you more than anyone else in this whole world? It's God, isn't it? I can remember when I was in Vietnam, I'd get letters from home. My mom would write me all the time. And sometimes I'd look at those letters, and guess what? There'd be little circles on that letter. And you know what they were? Teardrops. And you know what every one of those teardrops said to me? I love you. What's God saying to every one of us? I love you. I love Big Bad John. I love Itty Bitty Karen. And I really love Miss Lauren. You get the point, right? You get the point. Tender mercies. And look at what he says in verse 11, 12 again. So great is his mercy toward those who fear him, as far as the east from the west. In other words, you can't measure that love, can you? You can't measure it. We love him because he loved us. It's amazing how this all fits together. And you can look down in verse 17. You find the mercy of the Lord again. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. That includes our grandkids, doesn't it? That includes everybody here in this audience this morning. What a blessing that we have because of this. We have got a crown on us. Loving kindness and tender mercies. Let's go on. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Now here we think that we're not talking about going to your favorite restaurant and putting in something that really tastes good. I don't know what your favorite meal is. I've got many of them. I don't know. It's like one of my passwords or proof that I am who I say I am on some of the websites is, what's your favorite restaurant? And I give them the restaurant. Okay, you jury. He's not talking about that. What comes out of our mouth? What comes out of our mouth is basically what's in our heart, isn't it? And I think here he's talking spiritually about what God puts in our mouth. And you know what? Whatever is inside of us, how's it going to come out? It's come out with this little wagging tongue, isn't it? Our mouths is where it's going to come out. But what does God do? You know, it's amazing. We heard Jeff this morning talking about his quiet time with the Lord. And this time, this morning, when he was studying and meditating, the Lord put something in his mouth, didn't he? Did Jeff have any problem standing up this morning and sharing what the Lord had put in his mouth? No, he didn't, did he? He satisfies our mouth with good things. And one of the best things that we can put in our mouths, as it were, is the Word of God. And as we do that, as we think and meditate on God, we're actually putting things inside needs to be there, isn't it? Now, if we wait to be told what we need to hear, somebody's going to be offended, aren't they? They're going to say, who are you to point your finger at me? But if we feed ourselves, we get that correction from God, and there's no finger pointing, is it? It's all under that crown of loving kindness and mercy, knowing that the person who's telling you this actually loves you more than anyone in the whole world. In fact, you could take all the love that people had for you in the world, his would surpass all of that. Who fills your mouth with good things. But look at the next one. What is the result of all the things and meditating on the things that we have just looked at. When we think about the fact that I've been forgiven all of my sins, God has healed me and made me a new person. He took all of the things that I deserve and put it on His Son. That's how much He loved me and cared for me. He's redeemed my life. He wants me to live a fruitful and a productive life. He's crowned me. He's done all these things. Will that renew your strength? I can tell you, it will renew your strength. How many times have you had a hug and it completely put a big smile on your face? Have you ever had that? Nathan will get one tonight when Robbie comes home. He took a storm with him to India, and he brought one back here before he got here. I'll kid him about that when he gets home. But you get the point, right? The point is, our strength is renewed. They that wait upon the Lord, according to Isaiah 40, 31, what will happen? When we wait and don't fret and we trust the Lord, what will happen? He says, you'll mount up with wings like an eagle. In other words, what is the point of using an eagle in that illustration? Where do you want to be? Under your circumstances or way above your circumstances? And when you're way up like that eagle flying over and looking down at what's going on in life, all of a sudden you can see, oh, I'm taking care of this storm. Lauren's going to make it home from Oregon okay. Just trust me. You get the point, right? And how many times in life do we need to be reminded of the strength that we need? And our strength is in the Lord, isn't it? Our strength is in the Lord. Now, I think it's still okay to go to 12:10. Okay? Well, let's continue on. Let's look at some more things here. We looked at how he did this, but let's think about some things down in verse 10. Well, let me back up and hit verse 9. He will not strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Isn't that amazing? God is long-suffering, according to Peter, and he's not willing that any should perish. That's why he gives us the opportunity to learn from the mistakes that we make, the things that struggles we're going through in life. And I found many times that the struggles that we have as teenagers, as young people, is what gives us our ministry in life. Karen and I were talking to a young lady just the other day, and she was standing there and talking about her life and her little boy and so forth, and I won't give you all the details, but Karen told her about her mother. When Karen's mother was 12 years old, he was a deputy sheriff, and he went to a farm where someone was stealing eggs, and a guy took a gun and killed him. She grew up in her teenage years and so forth without a dad. How would that make you feel? There's nothing like those hugs you get from your dad, is it? Then she got married, and when she was pregnant with her Karen's brother, Jimmy, he had problems and died when she was pregnant with Jimmy. So here she is, a single mom with a little boy. Now you look at that and you think about these circumstances, that's enough to destroy you, isn't it? But you know what it did for Miss Stewart? You know where her ministry was? Her ministry was with young ladies that just had babies and young guys who were going astray or doing something and trying to get outside the box. I know one of the things she did at Mountaintop, and I had several people tell me this, at her funeral, they said Miss Stewart would cook those meals at Mountaintop. She did it for 25 years. And she said one of the things she would do is she would stand at the head of the line, and before the kids would go down through the line, they had to give her a hug. Isn't that amazing? Where'd she get all this love for young people and for teenagers and so forth? It was because of the things she'd gone through. And that's the way God is, but He won't strive forever. Sometimes He causes us to trip and fall down on the face of the earth, and then when we roll over, we're looking up. And that's where He wants us to look, isn't it? He wants us to look to Him. And it says here, He will not always put up with our evil behavior. Sometimes He'll step in and He'll take over and He will work in that situation. I can give you many illustrations that I've seen over the years. But it's great, isn't it? It is great. I want us to just think just for a moment. We started off with forget not all His benefits. Don't forget His benefits. I've got two illustrations here. One's a positive and one's a negative. There's a negative illustration. King Hezekiah. It says there, and on the center page, I've got these verses already there. In 2 Chronicles 32, 24, it said, in those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. And if you were to go back and look at that, you remember the Lord caused the sundial to go back 10 degrees. That's a miracle, isn't it? That convinced me right there, if I could see the sun go back instead of the other way. But listen to what happens in verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. And the benefit that was done to him was God gave him an extra 15 years in his life, didn't he? And he took care of the problems that he was dealing with. But look at what happened to him. Verse 25, for his heart was lifted up, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. The Lord gave him 15 years extra life. You know what happened during that 15 years? The third year, Manasseh was born. Now, what's going to happen with a daddy that's so full of pride and arrogance and so forth? Right? He died when Manasseh was 13 years old, and he became the king. And we're told there in that passage that, I don't have it on outline, but you can go home and read it, that he was one of the worst kings that Israel had. But eventually the Lord caused him to be taken captive, and it was while he was led away captive that he humbled himself and became right with God. That's a bad example, isn't it? Not rendering to the Lord for all the benefits that he's given. Now you think about the benefits that you have this morning. I think you're in a group of people that love you, that care about you, that would help you any way they could. That's great, isn't it? I love that old song that we used to sing so many times. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You know what, that girl the other day that I was just telling you about, when we got through, I asked Karen to pray for her, and when she got through, tears coming down her face. Big hug to know that somebody loved her and wanted to hear what her struggles were. That's it, isn't it? But here's a good example. We see in Psalm 116, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? what should I do? Because of all the benefits he's given me, and we could go through many of those benefits. Listen to what he says, and you'll see I will statements here. I will take the cup of salvation. Isn't it amazing? The Lord took our cup of wrath that we deserved, and he took it on himself, didn't he? What's he going to give you and me? A cup of salvation. And call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Let's continue on. I've got many stories I could tell there, but I'm not. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of praise and will call upon the name of the Lord. And here we have it repeated. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, I told you I would do this. I made a vow to you. And what am I going to do? I'm going to fulfill those promises that I made to you. I'm going to do it. And when we do it that way, and I think this is a beautiful illustration here of rendering to the Lord and thanking him for all the benefits package that we have. Now think about the benefits of that we have here today. This is the tip of the iceberg. What's going to happen in a future day? I pray the trumpet would sound and we'd all be captured up, caught up together in the air. But the greatest part of our benefits is when we go to heaven and we're with him and we're made like his son and we'll be there throughout all eternity. And then we'll be able to serve him in a perfect manner, won't we? What a blessing we have. We have. I just want to close with this right here. Look at verse 20. And there's other things on the outline. And this is why I give you an outline, because usually there's a lot of things I'm not able to cover. But look at these latter verses. Bless the Lord, you his angels. We're talking about in heaven, right? Who excel in strength. But look at what they do. Who do his word. Heeding. And that word heeding, it means to listen to hear, and to obey. What does his angels do? They do his word. They listen and they heed to the voice of his word. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to listen to God. And whatever he says, we want to be obedient. That's what the angels are doing. But look at the next one. And I think it's interesting, each one of these statements begin with, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. And I'm convinced there's no greater pleasure in life than to do what he's pleased with us doing. Look at the next one. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. What's the greatest work that praises him? I mean, just we heard this morning at the worship meeting about creation. Have you ever seen anything so incredible as the beauty of the creation? But how about that work that was done on the cross? That surpasses everything, doesn't it? But look at the last one. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The angels are doing it. All the hosts are doing it. His works are doing it. What should I do? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Could we all read this before I close in prayer? Let's read. And let's pretend we're in India at that orphanage. And let's quote and read verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, we just come to you this morning, and we just thank you for how you have loved us with an everlasting love. Father, we thank you that you look down upon us, and you want to hear each and every one of us say to you, Lord, I love you because what you have done for me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Lord, we just thank you this morning that we're able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. I want everything that's within me to bless you and to give you thanks because of what you have done for me. Oh, Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us now as we separate and go our separate ways. May our hearts be reminded that we should listen, we should heed, and we should do the things that's pleasing to you. And we just ask you to be with us now. And we know that you're working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we thank you this morning that you've promised to continue that good work that you begun until the day of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and his appearing. And we just thank you this morning in our Savior's precious name. Amen.